You have only one life to live, and it will soon be over. It'll be over whether you just exist or whether you really live. There was an older gentleman that worked for my uncle and lived close to me as I was growing up. And as many of the people around me, he was not a very educated man. He worked for my uncle and drove the pulpwood truck. My uncle had a pulpwood business in addition to some other businesses. And he lived close to us, and so I was around him quite often. And when things went right, when things were going good, he always said, "You're living now. You're living now. everything's rolling now." And so I want to talk about, hey, you can say about your life, you're living now. You're really living. I'm going to share with you three things that I believe will make your life abundant. It'll make your life worthwhile. It'll make life that you're excited about getting up in the morning. You're excited about living. And you can have that excitement no matter what's going on. When things go good and when things go bad, you still have the same excitement. You still have the same reason for existing. And so I want to share with you, I would like for you to write down the three points. There's a place on the back of your bulletin, some blank spots, just some lines. It says notes. I'd like for you to write down the three points. I want to give you the three points before we start, just in case you go to sleep in the middle of my sermon. Nobody has ever done that, but it could happen. You used to have a fellow tell, he sat in the choir. And at that time when I was preaching, the choir stayed up in the behind me so everybody could see him. And he went to sleep almost every Sunday. But he told me he could think better with his eyes shut. So I'm going to give you the three points. I want you to write them down, and you can add the scriptures or whatever you want to as we go along. But three things that will make life for you an abundant life. It'll make life worth living. It'll make you excited about life. It'll make you, there's a reason to get up. There's a reason that I exist. And you're like the little kids that just can't stand it that the day ends. You ever, I don't know whether you've been through that or not, but I was a little kid and out playing and time to come home at night, it's getting dark and the parents want you to come home. I didn't want to go home. I was playing. I had a good time. I grew up in the country and had a lot of freedom. I'd go out down the woods and all that kind of stuff. Just had a ball. And hated every day to end because I had so much I wanted to do, so much exciting things. And I think life can be that way for a Christian. And I'm going to give you three simple things. They're not easy things, but they're simple things, okay? We know the difference in easy and simple. Something can be simple but not easy. So this is real simple, but not real easy. And I especially hope our young people will listen, because I believe this is the key to what life is all about. I believe this is the key. And one of the exciting things, boy, if you can start early. But it doesn't make any difference when you start. Today is the first day of the rest of your life anyway, right? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So I want to give you the three points, and then I want to go back and talk about them. Three things. You need to know God. You need to know God. The second one is you need to know yourself. You need to know yourself. And the third one is you need to know God's purpose for you. You need to know God's purpose for you. You need to know God, know yourself, and know God's purpose for you. Most of you here are Christians, so I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about know God. So let me, I usually, when I talk to somebody about becoming a Christian, knowing God, I use the four spiritual laws. Let me reduce that and just reduce them to three. Somebody gave me a book on Steve Jobs' presentation method. And so it wasn't a book he wrote. It was just somebody that noticed how he presented things and wrote a book about this is the way to do it. And Steve Jobs, according to this guy, always just had three points. So I reduced my 4 points to 3 points, okay? All right, the 3 points about knowing God. First thing is, you are a lost sinner. You are a lost sinner. The Bible says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the first part of the verse says, the wages of sin is death. Death always means separation. When I die physically, my spirit separates from my body. When I die spiritually, or what the Bible calls the second death, my spirit is separated from God. And both of those are the result of sin. How many of us are sinners? All of us. All of us are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only exception to that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet never sinned. So you are a lost sinner. You sin. The result of your sin is separation from God. The second point in knowing God is Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the punishment for our sins. Romans 6:23, the rest of that verse says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal life. Living forever with God, having God quality life here, having the abundant life now, is a free gift from God. And it comes from God because of what Jesus did. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you are a lost sinner. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. You must accept Jesus as your Savior. You must accept Jesus as your Savior. Living in America won't do it. Being a child of Christian parents won't do it. That your grandfather's brother's sister's husband was a preacher won't do it. You've got to accept Jesus yourself, personally, as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Romans 10:9 and 10 says, I must believe in Jesus. I must confess that faith publicly. Acts 2:38 says, I need to repent, and I need to be baptized, and I can be saved. After I do that, I need to continue to live for Christ. Acts 2:42 tells me how I can do that. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So once I become a Christian, then I need to continue to do these things. I need to study the Bible and do what it says. Rest of my life, I need to study the Bible and do what it says. I need to fellowship with other Christians. I can't be a lone ranger Christian. I have to share together with other Christians. I have to fellowship. And they continually, steadfastly devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, remembering Jesus in the communion, and to prayers. Therefore, things I do the rest of my life. As a Christian, I need to do those things to remain faithful to him. I need to study the Bible. That's the apostles' doctrine. I need to study the Bible and do what it says. I need to fellowship with other Christians. I need to partake of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. I need to have prayer in my life. Communication is a key to every relationship.